Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into my podcast, Xena Life as a Dominatrix. This is episode 57. This will be aired on actually Thursday this time, Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Usually I publish podcasts on Tuesday, but a couple days ago I was just so busy that I didn't really have time to record, and today, this lovely Thursday, I have time, and before I begin discussing today's topic, I just want to make a note that on each and every of my podcast episodes, I have a link that states support the show today. So once you click on the link, it leads to my Venmo page. So thank you all very much for tuning in, subscribing, and supporting this little podcast. All right, today's topic, past parties. This is all in my book, Chapter 12 of Xena Life as a Dominatrix, found on Amazon. The book, Kindle version is available, paperback version is available. I published the book actually 4 years ago, March of 2020. I've worked on the book from 2015 to 2020, and I published it right during the pandemic, coincidentally. And the day I published it, it was like one of the national or international book days. So I thought, okay, this would be a great opportunity to publish the book. It's done, it's complete, and these are my personal stories. And I remember prior to publishing this book, somebody actually suggested if I would write a book and I should hire a ghostwriter. It's like, why would I want to do that? No, not for me. I mean, sure, there are ghostwriters out there for different authors and celebrities that will write their book, but I'm like, no, I'm telling my own story. So this is my first book, and it's 300 and some, over 330 pages. It's a quick read. It's the first book, so it's not like a perfect write. It's, you know, my first book, you know, it's not perfect. It's just my story. And I do remember another publisher, because I was shopping the idea of having a publisher publish my book. And then this one publisher in the city said, well, this other dominatrix posted or published a book, and it's called This and That. I said, well, that's her story. This is my story. So everybody has their own story. So what I'm trying to say is that if you have a story and you want to write, get to it. Write. It's great therapy. It's great opportunity to get your ideas on paper or in a book. Or if you give advice to people, a person that gives advice or tips about whatever subject, or you're into cooking and you want to publish a cookbook, or you're a photographer and you want to post your work, publish your work, get to it. What are you waiting for? Everybody has their own story. All right, let me turn to chapter 12. The title of this chapter, parties. My parties were all a blur. It all felt like it was all a dream. This sums it up. My parties were so fucking wild. From June of 2006 to July of 2007, I had Naughty Spot at Spot 6. It was a nightclub in Chicago. And then public parties from December 2006 to May of 2008, called Kinky Playground at Kinetic Playground. Then I decided to host private parties called Bondage Night Chicago at a downtown dungeon. This was from 2008 to 2012. Then I moved the parties to our space from 2012 to 2015. And then in 2015, I abruptly stopped. So I threw parties for about 9 years, and the parties welcomed all walks of life. Why did I start throwing parties. I wanted to get the community together, full of like-minded individuals, to express our individuality, to be our true selves. It was a welcoming environment as long as people respected one another. Let's see, I was the organizer, promoter, hostess, performer at each event. And also at each event, I would have other guest performers, guest DJs, guest photographers. Let's see, there were countless numbers of demos that I would perform in front of thousands of curious eyes during the 9 year span of throwing parties. People were mesmerized by what they witnessed. Overall, the parties were a lot of fun. Each month, there was a different flyer that I would create. I had a list of regulars that I would send email invites to. Some would respond, and some considered it as spam. I was all about marketing the event, either by email, social media, or passing out flyers. I wanted people in Chicago and the neighboring states to attend, so they did. And if someone from LA, New York, Canada, or Europe had to travel to Chicago for business, they would look up fetish events in Chicago on Google, and they would come across my event and they would attend. So yeah, during the 9 year span, I was fortunate enough to have thousands of people attend the events, whether they were regulars or just people who were curious to check out the scene. Each event involved performers, people dressed in fetish attire, dancing and mingling. Several people wanted to perform, put on demos, model for photographers, or hook up with one another. It was a kinky paradise for some and an experiment for others. My regret? I wish I would have had a tip jar after playing with guests. I can't tell you how many party guests wanted to either have me tie them up, paddle them, flog them, or demonstrate how to either tie up their partner or how to properly use a spanking implement. So all walks of life attended: mistresses, masters, slaves, submissives, switches, kinksters, fetishists, couples, single people, voyeurs, exhibitionists, and vanilla individuals. They were all welcome. Everyone had something in common. They all wanted to have a good time. Some people were just so drawn to the event to the point where they wouldn't miss a party. And some people wanted to try it once, attend an underground party, and then I would never see them again. I recall mentioning a semi-strict dress code in my emails to partygoers. I would state, "Dress up for the event. Blue jeans not allowed. Dress up meeting. Dress in fetish attire. Latex, leather, PVC, fishnets, lingerie, costumes, or wear all black." Play. People were not obligated to play, but for those who wanted to play, they had to bring their own toys. Most events, I wanted to watch the action as well. The sound of either someone moaning, screaming, or laughing typically filled the room. If people had fun at my event, so did I. All right, so I'm going to, let's see, turn the page here. Event positives. Single people would hook up with one another. The smiles on many faces brought joy to the event. Events. I recall that either one or two couples became married after they met one another. They had met at one of my events. Another positive, if it were 0 degrees outside, people would still attend. People were grateful to be welcomed at my event. I think they wanted to also attend because they had cabin fever, and winters in Chicago are just definitely brutal. So, also, they all enjoyed the atmosphere, the music, the eye candy, the performance art, and being surrounded by other like-minded individuals. It was another way where couples can spice up their own sex life, and I thrived on good vibes only, drama-free atmosphere. And I became friends with some party guests as well. Event negatives. This was rare. I've had toys disappear and drama occur amongst party guests. Another rare moment, during a couple events, I caught a man masturbating to the eye candy in the room. He was escorted out immediately. Or another man was caught taking unauthorized photos with his cell phone. He was escorted out immediately as well. Another moment, my ex at the time wanted to fight a performer. Why? I asked the performer to give me a shoulder massage, and he was happy to do so. So when my ex witnessed this, he charged at him, at the performer. I've had coworkers run into other coworkers, and that was awkward. I remember the one coworker, the one worker saw his fellow coworker and just immediately left and hid his face. And one event, this was in the past, this one woman, it was her birthday, and she actually passed out on the couch and she would not wake up. She consumed so much alcohol, and I had our doorman at the time call the paramedics, and luckily she was all right. And I remember the dungeon owner was a different dungeon. He was so upset that that I had the paramedics be called. It's like, well, this woman is not waking up, and so. Luckily, she woke up. She just passed out. And after that party, I said, that's it. No alcohol. That is fucking it. And a lot of people stopped attending because they wanted to drink and mingle and play. It's like, no, now it's a no alcohol rule because that one individual did this. I mean, it's just, I don't recommend alcohol at a play party, bottom line. But back then, people drank, smoked, etc. Another event, a party guest participated in a Shibari bondage demo. She was in bondage for about 30 minutes, and spectators couldn't take their eyes off of the demo. When she was let out of the bondage, she stated that her arm had fallen asleep. She actually had to go to the doctor and had a pinched nerve, which made it, hard for her to work, so she did not attend work. And I felt really bad for her, and I said, well, why didn't you tell the person tying you up this? And I don't remember her response, and I don't remember his response, and I felt so bad for her, and she couldn't work for a couple months after that. And let's see, back in 2006, 2008, there were public events being held at public clubs. They only allowed people who were 21 and over these clubs. So I recall the club manager actually sneaking in a couple of 19 or 20-year-olds. And I would find out about this after the party. The club manager wouldn't tell me during the event because he knew I would have asked the 19 and 20-year-olds to leave. They were at the very first events that I hosted. That was first event that I hosted, which was in June of 2006. I promoted the event, made flyers, created the website, hosted the event, played with people at the event, organized it. It was pretty much DIY, do it yourself. It was too much work, but it was too much fun as well. The club was nice enough to store my gear, a dog cage, a St. Andrew cross, chains, etc. I remember purchasing the dog cage from somebody from Craigslist. It was this older woman, and she said, "Oh, what kind of dog you have?" And I don't remember how I responded. I probably turned beet red and probably thought, "You have no idea, lady." So the club stored the cage, and then the St. Andrew cross was built for me, and chains were stored at the club, etc. We had a dance floor for those who wanted to dance and a small stage for the performances. The events consisted of dancing, playing, drinking, mingling, performances. Each month I would have a guest performer. Let's see, the first party, June of 2006, I wanted to test the waters to see how many people would actually attend. So we had a good crowd. I remember playing and dripping of sweat because I wore latex and the air conditioner was not working well. Back then, people were allowed to smoke inside the club since, well, actually, every club smoking was allowed, and it sucked because I would cough from all the smoke. I would always hope not to cough, but I would get into these coughing fits. But overall, the fetish party at the club was so much fun, and that's what Chicago needs, a big, supportive, amazing fetish scene. At the party, I played with my volunteers. One was a red-headed woman who wanted everyone to see her get spanked by me. It turned out to be quite an erotic yet sensual scene. Then another scene, a mummification on a particular individual. I placed the gas mask on her, did a little bit of breath play, nipple torture, etc. I got pretty excited. She got pretty excited. I wouldn't mind playing with more ladies, though. And this party, I had wore my blue latex dress and my uniform hat. And let's see, there's another party the next month, July of 26. I don't remember much of this party. This party was all a blur. Luckily, I've saved all the images that were taken by the resident photographer who was kind enough to take pictures. People were comfortable with having their photos taken. They enjoyed it. And if not, they would either wear a hood or ask the photographer not to take their photo. Let's see. And then the word got out about the parties, and in August to December of 26, 2006, the parties were jam-packed. So I describe August, September, October, November, December, then 2007. 2007 of January. It was a cold month. But I recall a lot of people came out for a good time. Party guests showed up. This one particular party guest, I remember who it was. He showed up wearing a pig mask. He let all the ladies use him however they desired. Another party guest attended wearing a latex cat suit and a gas mask, and we played. And I remember who that was too as well. It's a friend of mine. And another party guest came to me whispering, "I'm wearing a diaper under my pants. Would you like to see?" So I said, "Okay, sure." So I pulled down his pants so all the party guests can witness this diaper boy, and the ladies just busted out laughing. February 2007. First, my girlfriend was transformed into a human candy buffet. I think this is around Valentine's Day. She was mummified in red saran wrap and was placed on the bar. I covered her mummified body in a Valentine's. Wait, yeah, I covered her mummified body in Valentine's candy. I think I brought brownies too. So guests had helped themselves to candy as the bartender looked irritated by this. Second, my ticklish friend wanted to be tickled, so I placed a sign on him stating, "Please tickle me." And then behold, he was tickled by various ladies. I remember who that was too as well. And third, I showed off one of my fetish movies to the partygoers. Let's see, fourth, instead of staying open till 3 a.m., the club decided to stay open until 4 a.m. And then at the end of the night, these ladies decided to flash me, although the club had a no nudity policy. Let's see. March, April. Let's see. May, June. Boy, yeah, a lot of stories from from the past parties in 2006, 2007. Then fast forward to 2008. Let's see. Date of the Dead Fetish Ball 2008 at Kinetic Playground. Let me see. This was in November of 2008. This was, yeah, memory. I had hosted a big Halloween party at this venue. It entailed a fashion show filled with latex-clad women and men. Oh, on stage demos by me and a band at the end of the night, performing loud industrial rock to a crowd of over 200 individuals. I don't remember what the band was. I'll have to try to dig up a flyer and see who it was because I have no recollection of the band. The demos involved seeing if any of the audience members wanted to participate in getting spanked on stage. So a lot of people wanted to participate in this. Another demo, I had my previous slave dress in a white straitjacket, gas mask, and appeared helpless in a wheelchair. And then I brought out a patient from the audience to join us. I wrapped her face with bandages and spanked her ass. It felt as if it could be my own on-stage medical asylum. These photos are not Facebook friendly. I still have the photos and I remember who the people were, and the photos are very visual and awesome and very graphic, but too graphic for Facebook. So let's see. Last demo, I had two participants from the audience join me on stage. So I whispered to one, I said, "Touch my latex body." And then another participant, it was a friend of mine, I said, "Are you comfortable with sucking on my fucksaw in front of everyone?" A fucksaw is a machine-operated cock. So she said yes. So I turned on the machine and I let her suck my mechanical cock. Let's see. Yeah, more parties. Parties at the Downtown Dungeon. Let's see. This was okay. Bondage, sex, and debauchery pretty much sums up my events at the Downtown Dungeon. The play space was located in the loop. Parking was a pain in the ass, but people still came out for a night to remember. And in reality, the building where this party was thrown, or the downtown dungeon, the whole building is gone, and they built a brand new building. It's an office building, very tall building. I don't know what how many stories, but I'm like, wow, memories. I'm not gonna say what street it was on, but it's like I had a lot of memories there. Let's see, these parties were held once a month, lasted for about 5 hours each time, and you had to be 21 and over to enter. Each month was different. Each month included about 50 to 100 people. Each month had a house DJ, and each month was something else. Let's see, 25 things that I remember from this party. Although the event was held at a dungeon, not my dungeon, the dungeon mistresses attended. Pretty much all the dungeon mistresses were either, I hate to say this, but they were catty or they had a nasty attitude. I hate to say it, but it was true. And it's like they chose to be like that. They chose to act like that. And I was just there doing my thing, and I'm just like, okay, whatever. And I couldn't say leave, you know, I'm not gonna say that. It's just they worked there at the time, and I just minded my own business. That's all I could have done. All right, number two, I made men become my personal human furniture, whether it was my footstool or my chair. Number three, Human ashtrays would kneel in front of their mistresses, and the mistresses used them however they pleased. Number four, the music was so damn loud. Each time I would tell the DJ to turn down the volume so I could actually think. Number five, the back room was filled with cigarette smoke. This was the back room that also included snacks for guests. And back then, you could smoke inside clubs. And I remember there was a balcony where people smoked on as well. But it was always crowded, so people just smoked inside of their dungeon. And I thought, well, it's not my dungeon. I don't have to inhale these fumes all the time. Let's see, number six. Ew, this is gross. I recall finding a used condom on the couch right before I was going to sit on the couch. Again, it was the dungeon's couch, not my couch. And if it were my fucking couch and I found a used condom on the couch, I would flip the fuck out. Yeah. let's see, number seven. One of the events, someone requested to be bound in the dungeon's coffin. I said, okay, so I placed him in the coffin and I left this person in the coffin for about two hours. Let's see, and then I checked on him. This person, I don't remember who the person was, but he was really into sensory deprivation. I did not have a hood on him. I just placed him in the coffin. I don't believe I tied him up either. I'm like, okay, you want to relax? Here you go. Here's this very dark coffin, wooden coffin. And then there were two party guests sitting on the coffin because there were no seats around and it was a jam-packed party. And then I told the party guests, excuse me. And the party guests had no idea somebody was laying right inside of the coffin. And the guy in the coffin, he was just all smiles. So I'm like, how are you? Are you okay? He's like, I am great. So that was his thing, sensory deprivation. And the party guests, well, I'm sure that was a story to tell. Yeah. So, all right, number eight. I had one woman bound in the dungeon suspension unit. She politely asked if I could whip her body, and I did. Number nine. This is kind of gross. I had my slave at the time fucking apple pie in front of everyone. I think I got the idea from watching American Pie. But he was one of those slaves where he was like, I'll do anything for you. I'll do anything. I said, are you sure? Are you sure? And he was also into being humiliated. And when he was performing this act of fucking the apple pie, I just remember the face. His face past the pink. It was beet red. He was so embarrassed. And the people watching this were just either very confused or they were cracking up and they were just in total disbelief. So now when a slave says, I'll do anything for you, I say, are you sure? Are you really sure? You got to watch what you say. 'Cause I'll whip out a pie and I'll make you no. That I think that's the only time I had somebody do that fucking apple pie was that one time, and I got the inspiration from watching American Pie Part One. let's see. Number 10. I lost track as to how many people I flogged each and every month. Number 11. There was one party where a friend of mine told me, she said, I'll do anything for you. I said, what do you mean by anything? She said, I'll suck your boyfriend's cock for you. I said, okay. And she was very, very into my boyfriend. And what I remember was that her friend at the time was right next to her. and he was uncomfortable by this. And they were not a couple, they were just friends. And then when I'm trying to remember, when he witnessed this, he decided not to speak with me for like a good year. And I was friends with this guy. And then I was friends with her too, and we still spoke. And she really enjoyed pleasuring, and she was really comfortable with it. And she wanted to do this in front of everybody. And what I remember is I didn't want to lose the friendship with my friend because he was right next to her. And I didn't want to lose friendship with her, if that makes sense, because she was friends with me too. And then, long story short, she moved away, has her own life. We lost touch, and I'm still friends with this guy who attended, and he has witnessed a lot of scenes at this dungeon as well. He would come on a regular basis just to hang out and witness different dungeon scenes and enjoy the music. And and it was hot at the time, but then I'm like, okay, I don't want to lose friendship. Although she said, I'll suck your, I want to suck your boyfriend's cock. So she consented, I consented. But her friend at the time was just very uncomfortable by this. Like he thought she was joking. It's like one of those things where it's like, are you sure you really want to do this? And it was one of those wild, wild moments for sure. All right, number 12. Let's see. I had for one party, I had my friends serve me. They made me feel good. I had my boyfriend lick my nipples and my girlfriend kiss my ass in front of everybody. That was a wild party as well. So, number 13, I received a countless number of massages throughout the parties from numerous people. Foot massages, back massages. I'm a big fan of receiving massages. Number 14, I remember having my boyfriend and two friends join me in the private room at the dungeon. And I was feeling extra horny that night. So let's just say the night in the private room got very sexual. A lot of hot action, hot action that night. Number 15. One of my friends expressed the interest of using her strap-on dildo. So I said, "Would you like to use your strap-on dildo on my boyfriend? He really enjoys that." I recall she said yes. Why yes? And he was always eager to participate, and so next thing you know, her strap-on is in his mouth, in his tush, and that was a sight to see as well. Let's see. I witnessed number 16. I witnessed a drunk girl attempting to whip a slave. This woman was one of the dungeon mistresses that worked there. So she attempted to whip a slave. Her flask stayed in one hand and her whip was in the other. And I told her, I said, "What are you doing?" I got really angry with her. So whipping plus being under the influence is not a great combo whatsoever. Number 17. Each party, I had one slave crawl all over the dungeon. This particular slave crawl all over the dungeon on all fours. And I would introduce him as a pet. He crawled for any beautiful woman in the room. Number 18, one man showed up dressed in street clothes and brought his bag of fried chicken to the party. although he did not dress the part, the dungeon owner welcomed him in because he was friends with the owner. During one of my whipping scenes, he rudely interrupted me, asking me if I wanted some of his chicken. And I yelled at him. I said, no! And that was like very hilarious because all you could, because I remember the dungeon would light incense and the room usually filled with incense. And then you go to the back room and the room was filled with cigarette smoke. But this particular party was, the scent was fried chicken in that room. And I just remember yelling at him, no! And plus, at a dungeon party, you're not supposed to interrupt somebody. That is just totally rude. Let's see. Number 19. Several times during the parties, I witnessed couples fucking one another. And these couples were both into the swinging lifestyle, the dungeon lifestyle, or just flat out swingers that just wanted to have sex in front of everybody and have other people watch them have sex, and that was their kink. Number 20. Let's see. Several times during each party, I heard spanks and screams from masochists. Number 21. During a few parties, my friends wanted to have some fun with my boyfriend, so I agreed, which my boyfriend was very grateful for. And then, let's see, I watched my boyfriend. Let's see, it was pretty much, let's see, I'll just say it was pretty much a threesome that happened. And I was totally fine with it, and I enjoyed watching. And they were personal friends of mine, and we all had a good time. Yeah. Number 22, there was one event where my friend caught a man taking a photo of her without her consent. He would not show me his phone, which made him look even more guilty. So he was escorted out. And I remember who these people were, and I was just in such disbelief. Like, why would he do such a thing? That's totally not, like, not something that he would do. He's usually respectful, but then him, you know, taking a photo without her consent, not fucking cool. That's not cool. You don't do that. Let's see, number 23. Many times I witnessed sissies sucking stud cock. Number 24. Many times the shibari artist would entertain the crowd by placing his slave girl in elaborate suspension bondage. It was very artistic to witness. And number 25. I remember feeling extremely exhausted at the end of each party. They were long, draining parties. So going to bed, my ears would ring from the music. And then when I called it quits in front of the dungeon owner one day, he got on his hands and knees begging me to stay. And I said no, and I moved on. Yeah, and these, yeah, that was, oh yeah, and then fast forward to the parties at the studio. We had different themed parties with my girlfriends and I. We called it Nuit de Libertines, meaning Night of the Libertines. So these pretty much started in 2010. They would take place each month, once a month, the first Friday of each month to be exact. And each party, we wanted it to be a niche. So one party we had a masquerade party. That was August of 2010. September was transformation party where it was let's see, my girlfriends and I, we grabbed our makeup kits, wigs, sissy wardrobe, and transformed those who desired to be transformed. So quite a few men showed up, men who were interested in being a cross-dresser, a sissy, a slave girl, a slut girl, and that was their kink, that was their fetish. And 2010 October, speed spanking spree. So this was a spanking party. November 2010, a foot and trample party. That was a lot of people that came up for that one because a lot of the men in Chicago at the time, from what I remember, were into foot fetish. It's a very popular fetish to this day, actually, and very common fetish. December 2010, we had a human animal party. So we transformed people into being our human dogs, human pony boys, human horses, etc. And yeah, so, and then 2011, we had more parties and more parties and more parties. And so then in 2015, I'm like, I'm done. I'm tired. It's and also, since I had a no alcohol policy, no smoking inside of the dungeon policy, that was also a turnoff for some people. And yeah, it's like my rules. Don't like my rules, then don't come. And I brought up this chapter because I think because sometimes I really miss throwing parties. And then I'm like, nope, that was the past. That was the past. The past is the past. So, and some people they have memories of the parties, and I'm like, wow, you have a good memory. And some things I just don't remember at all. It's like I said in the book, sometimes the parties were all a blur. But at the end in 2015, I'm like, I'm tired. I'm really tired. This, although the parties took place once a month, it was a lot of work. And yeah, it was just a lot of work. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. And actually in 2023, May of 2023, I hosted a couple events in Queens where the venue wanted me to be a host of these burlesque events. And so I'm like, okay, I could put on these events. I could. And unfortunately, not many people showed up because people didn't want to travel to this area in Queens, I guess. I mean, it's a safe area, it's a popular area, but people didn't want to travel there. And also, the venue was supposed to help me promote the event, and they failed to do so. So I'm like, okay, why would I want to continue hosting events at your venue? So this was, yeah, May of last year, 2023, and New York City is filled with very talented performers, whether they're burlesque performers, fetish performers, circus performers, freak show performers, dancers, singers, etc. There's all sorts of artists here, and I just tested the waters for that month of May, and I'm like, no, this is not for me. This is not the time for me. And I mean, I enjoyed hosting, but it's just, the venue was supposed to help out with promotion as well, and and also the thing with New York City is there are so many events going on every day, like events in Brooklyn, events in the city. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not gonna do it now, but it's my memories. It's what I kind of miss it, And also back to the fetish parties. The last fetish party I attended, let's see, I can't remember the name of the party, but it was in the city in 2019, and it was jam-packed. It was awesome. It was a lot of eye candy. The music was booming, blaring, very loud. But what I remember is the beautiful performance arts and the eye candy. And some of my friends attended, but it was very hard to hear them because the music was so loud. And it was a summer day. I remember that, and I was dressed in latex, and I was so hot, and I'm like, oh my God, give me water. So, and a lot of people, and surrounded by a lot of people and you're in latex, it's like, okay, hydrate, hydrate. Need water now. So, yeah, and also the last dungeon I attended was in the city in 2019 as well, and I remember, oh, what do I remember of that one? It was a friend that was hosting the party at the time, and the dungeon I don't believe is there anymore. I'm not sure. And yeah, the last fetish dungeon party I attended, parties I attended were pre-pandemic 2019. So I'm like, wow, that was 5 years ago, 2019. Oh yeah, 5 years ago, 20, 21, 22. 5 fucking years ago. So what am I trying to say? I kind of want to go to a party. I'm having the itch to go to a party again, I guess. So, yeah, but not host. That was all the past. All right. So I hope you all enjoyed my little read in my book, Xena: Life as a Dominatrix. There's a lot more stories in the book from my own personal experiences. The book is found on Amazon, paperback version, Kindle version available. And I hope you all enjoyed this little episode. And again, on my podcast, you'll see a link that states support the show. And when you click on the link, it leads to my Venmo page. And the Venmo ID, just for voice verification, is Xena Romanova. So, again, thank you all very much for tuning in, subscribing, spreading the word, supporting the show. Thank you all very much. Have a great day.